fault.
Greenwich police recently put out an advisory warning residents to be aware of a scam where police purportedly text or email you claiming you owe money for parking tickets. First Selectman Fred Camillo says, of course, that's not true, and it's just one of a number of scams of which to be aware.
Seeing a lot of scams that are being sent to people, whether it's, you know, a toll that you owe or California fire relief for the victims there, be very, very careful about what you click on. It's all over the place. We saw one yesterday where people are getting something from in Florida. They're getting something. My sister got one in Stanford where they're talking about a serial killer that's in the area, and it'll come from the police department, but it's not really the police department. And it's just, they try to make it look like it's a professional email or text.
And his advice, do not respond or click on any links on that text. And if you want to call the party, get the number independently of the email or text you received. Do not use the contact information provided. I'm Tony Savino, 1490 WGCH News and WGCH.com, anywhere.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Today will be mostly sunny in the low 30s with the winter weather advisory statewide away from the immediate coast for tomorrow. Then increasing clouds for tonight with snow developing towards sunrise in the upper teens with snow and sleet before noon for tomorrow. Then freezing rain and sleet between noon and 2 p.m. with rain after in the mid-30s, ice of less than a half inch with new snow between 1 and 3 inches. As we pull out of winter and head into spring, enjoy the scenery while saving time, gas, and money en route to Long Island. There's never any black ice or snowdrifts on the Sound, so be safe and warm. Go online to 888-44-FERRY.com. I'm meteorologist Chris Rush on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
The following show has paid WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
What is America to me? A house I live in, a plot of earth, a street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see. All races and religions, that's America to me. The town I live in, the street, the house, the room, pavement of the city, or a garden all in bloom. The church, the school, the clubhouse, the million lights I see, but especially the people that's America to
phase out the Bob Small carefully curated selection of old jazz, ladies and gentlemen, in order to interrupt you with the regularly scheduled broadcast of your Greenwich House Gideon Fountain presenting. Right, Bob? All the same story each week, every Wednesday.
Well, there is a
slight
yes.
variation in my start time. Yes, I agree.
But there's also a consistent issue with housing in Greenwich.
Yes, it's a running story.
So it makes it kind of hard for you to do a different show every week, which you do try to do,
somehow,
I'd say.
Somehow he pulls it off, ladies yeah. and gentlemen. Well, you know why? Because the stories vary rather dramatically. This was quite a week of this past week. Lots of interesting real estate activity, and it's interesting because it's this this phenomenon of no inventory that has continued and started in well, you know, obviously COVID related. It was starting in late March. We real estate agents with rental listings started to notice this slow build, but it was an uptick in activity. And all these New Yorkers suddenly wanted rentals.
Yeah.
And there were leftover rentals that hadn't rented, and they all got swept up. And then people who sensed a good thing said, well, gee, all right, yeah, well, let's rent our house. And they'd go somewhere else, and they'd take advantage of that. But that quickly, by June or July, maybe a little later, that turned into sales interest. And that is when our formerly stuffed inventory of like 800 listings was just grabbed. Everybody, especially in the backcountry. No one wanted the backcountry. Nope, no. That's too far from town. How many minutes to Greenwich Avenue? Well, if you get stuck behind a school bus, I guess it could be 15, 16.
I guess this kind of shows you that where the people were coming from that were looking for housing. They were coming from cities
yes.
where everything's tightly packed.
Crowded, dense cities, yeah. which is the way the urban planners have wanted all of us to live all these years. There's been a general condemnation of urban sprawl. Like, this was a terrible... How dare people want their own little quarter acre and their own little house? No, that's not the way the planners want them to live. We want you in big apartment buildings all jammed in together, and then traveling on public transportation. Excellent, clean, well-run public transportation, which any day now we're going to have, I promise you. So, yeah, people wanted to get away from that. COVID... There was an overreaction to COVID. It was not a threat to most people. It was a threat to elderly people and people with other health problems. Certainly, it was never a threat to children. But we all pretended that it was, and that made people panicky. So they came running out to places like Greenwich, Connecticut. And they swept up all the inventory to the point where we have gone from 816 listings, active listings, to, you know, 80 or 90. It's really remarkable. And some of those 80 or 90 are already, you know, they have deals cooking. So maybe it's really 40. So it is an incredible seller's market. If you're a buyer, don't fool around. For gosh sakes, I still can't get over, Bob, how people just mess around. They'll, you know, the house is on for, and I just, it's a human instinct. The house is on for $3 million. And they say, well, you think they'd take 2.5? No. They won't take 2.5. Not only that.
Why would they?
They yeah. probably won't take 3. They'll take 3.2, 3.3 maybe. But again, what are you supposed to do? You know, it's a normal human instinct and habit to bargain. And you just want to. And it's infuriating to be stuck in a line of other people who want the same thing you do. And they're going to bid you up, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
I had a house for sale over the past year that no one wanted, and the objection seemingly was the Merritt Parkway. Oh, you could hear the Merritt Parkway. It's 1,000 feet away or more, and lots of trees and woods between it. But, look, you could see. I can see some cars there. Oh, and you can hear it when you get out. You know, none of this seems to bother Belhaven residents as Route 95 roars by.
Mm.
Or in that case, and you know, there are neighborhoods throughout town that are affected by. Notice I don't say impacted by. They're affected by the noise of a nearby highway or something. And don't forget, as Betty Mosier, a great real estate genius, once said, Greenwich is a town full of busy, important people who need to get in and get out fast. And that's why we are crisscrossed with every form of transportation from, well, I don't know about ferry boats, but we've got, you know, major highways like I-95 and 684, and then we have a airport right on our border, which is very handy, Westchester Airport. And no, it's not such a bad thing to live near Westchester Airport. Oh, that's another one. Listening will be a mile away from the airport, and I see people piping up on my brother's real estate blog called For What It's Worth. They'll write, well, you know, you're going to get some airport noise up there. It's a mile away, dude, or even a half a mile. Who cares? Yes. Yes, Bob Small.
The planes have gotten much quieter.
They have. It's true. It's
over
true.
The decades, say, I mean, planes used to be really horribly noisy.
I'm glad you brought that up. Back in the, I don't know, the late 60s, early 70s, my mom and I, we went up to Augustino's farm up there across from
just
where
Augustine.
The, Augustine's farm? Yeah, up there on King Street. And a plane took off, and I couldn't believe the noise level. I mean, it was so high. Yes, we are a quarter of that now, maybe less. It's really amazing. It's even when you're playing golf at the town golf course, and the planes are flying overhead. It's not that distracting at all. If anything, the helicopters sometimes are a little annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so everybody has their opinions about noise, but it does turn out that Greenwich is a great place to get in and out of quickly and easily, and that is one of its great values. Now, would I have preferred I-95 cut through, you know, some upstate area rather than cut through the coast, the prime coast of Connecticut? Yes, of course, it would have been great. But we have it. I'm sure there were people back in the 1950s when the highway went through who sold out in neighborhoods like Belhaven saying, well, that's it. Okay, the highway's gone through. This is ruined. If only they knew that they're property values would go up by thousands of percentages. Anyway, so I had a listing set for years, and set for months, and the complaint, everybody loved the house, absolutely loved it, everything about it, but oh, gee, gosh, we can hear the Merritt Parkway. So suddenly, and this is very typical of this perfect, the perfect market in an already great seller's market is the first 3 months of the year. This is true in Greenwich. I don't know how it works in other towns. January, February, March is when you want to sell your house. I know your property doesn't look as nice. There's no leaves. If there's no snow, it's probably the ugliest time of year, at least in Connecticut. And yet, that's the months to sell. January, February, March. Don't wait. Do not wait till May. That's when even in this slim inventory market, we still get to enough that yours will be picked over if there's any kind of flaw or your price is a little too high. But in January, February, March, they come in and they go, okay, I'll take it. And that's what happened with mine, Bob. Nobody wanted it. And suddenly, multiple bids. In the last 72 hours, multiple bids on this property. Again, no one wanted it. Or as Joel Kay, esteemed real estate attorney, would say, nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted it. Somebody wanted it.
Everybody
wanted
it.
Yeah. It's amazing. Absolutely incredible. And
is it possible that the ones that are complaining about the parkway, for instance, are just trying to negotiate a lower price?
No, they would not know. Typically, it was a husband and a wife, and one of them would love the house. The other one would say, no, I love the house too, but sorry, parkway noise. And they wouldn't buy it. It wasn't even a question of price. They weren't even trying to negotiate. They just would say no.
So those are the ones you need to show it to after a snowfall.
Yes, that's true.
Which quiets down everything.
Muffling, yes, you know? Quite so. I was tempted for a while to hire guys with truckloads of telephone poles and just block the Merritt during the just, you know, have an accidental falling of, oh, we're so sorry, those telephone poles.
So the cars couldn't drive by.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just for an hour or two, you know, no big deal. Then I thought about fines and jail time and things like that. I thought, nah, heck with it. Yeah. So what really troubled me about this sudden enthusiasm for the house troubled me. I mean, it worked out fine, but I felt bad because there was a buyer. We had a buyer, and the buyer kept doing testing of things. You know, there was the usual building inspection that lasted hours and hours and hours, and then there was additional tests, you know, for chimneys and tank scans and roof inspection, just a list, this laundry list of things, and the time kept ticking by, the time just going by and going by and going by. And a contract was prepared and ready, but it was not coming back to us signed, you know, and I just felt bad because I knew, you know, at this time of year, if you leave a contract hanging out there, it's so tempting to the seller. And by the way, there was no orchestrating on my part. You know, I don't need to call up other brokers and say, hey, we've got a deal. You come on in. It's not too late. You don't have to do that because the brokers call and say, is it available? And you say, well, we have a deal, but we're going to continue to show. That's the right answer. Mm-hmm. You continue to show. Because why wouldn't you? Everybody, that's mandatory in real estate. You think you have a deal. You probably have a deal. But then all of a sudden the buyer just wakes up one day and says, yeah, you know what? No, forget it. Sorry. Sorry for the trouble. So you keep showing. That's the number one rule in real estate. You keep showing. So I kept showing. And sure enough, suddenly in the last few days, the offers started to come in. First, similar to the one we already had, and we turned them down, said, no, we're sticking with it, sorry. Then somebody several hundred thousand dollars higher. Still, my client said, no, you know what? This first deal has momentum. We're talking about in excess of north of $5 million, let's just say it that way. So a couple hundred thousand, they stuck with them. Then all of a sudden, the offers were several hundred thousand dollars over, and that's at the point where they just said, all right, you know what, you can, you know, give the other buyer one last chance. And I did. I called and said, you guys want to go up several hundred thousand? They said, no. So we went with somebody else. And then as soon as we said that, more offers came in, even higher, even more hundreds of thousands. So for a minute there, for a while there, that buyer, the first buyer, had a real deal going on. And all they had to do was sign quickly and just say, okay, you know what, we're going to take a chance on the chimney, or maybe we can't fully inspect the septic system because it's wintertime. But then again, the septic was replaced less than 15 years ago, so no risk or very low risk and maintained by a reputable company. You guys, when you're making a deal, if you want to take your time on something that's truly important, then yes, go ahead, but do it really, really quickly. But most of the time, if there's a chimney cap missing, like one of those metal things that keep the raccoons from growing, moving in, you can do that yourself, right? You don't hold up the deal on little stupid stuff, because what it really does is angers the seller. It just angers the seller. So you just, yeah, man, I hate to see that. But there we are. And then I see, again, speaking of my brother's blog, some little know-it-all keeps saying that, I love these people, that when they're looking from the outside in real estate, especially trying to decide why brokers do what they do, and you don't know. And that's the trouble when juries come in and try to judge how we're paid. They have no idea of the system. All they know is they've seen some show called Selling Sunset, and they watch these California twits, especially the men with painted toenails, and they're wearing flip-flops to show $14 million real estate. Or did I say 14? I meant $24 million real estate. And they watch that and they go, oh, these brokers. What, look at that guy. He just showed up one day, showed a house, and the poor seller has to pay him $300,000. I wish it was that easy. It's not. Those shows do not portray reality. They certainly don't portray brokers in Greenwich. God, yeah. The brokers in Greenwich are a very high quality. They know stuff. They really do. Sometimes they know too much and they get in the way of a deal by scaring their customer. Those are called unsuccessful brokers. But boy, they're knowledgeable. Anyway, I noticed that some twit writing in under some fictitious name, I'm sure. That's why I can call the person a twit. The twit said, well, that Ellen Mosier of Houlihan Lawrence, Ellen is underpriced 242 Riverside Avenue. I'm sure of it. She's trying to stage a bidding war. Well, first of all, you don't have to stage a bidding war. You just put the house on the market. In this market, put it on for what it's worth. In this case, $4,295,000, and that was about $600,000 more than the last people paid a couple of years ago. So, no, that's not a bidding war price. Yes, once I did that, I put my house on, my personal house on for $749,000, thinking I'll get a bidding war, and I did. It sold for $1,000,001. That was way back in 2004. But most of the time, especially with the Ellen Mosier type, she's not interested. I mean, she's happy to have a bidding war, but she prices things to sell. So $4,295,000 for a nice Sound Beach Partners built house on, it's 0.28 acres. Now, in some situations, that's plenty of land. But this house is so big with 5,158 square feet. I think that includes the lower level, but maybe not. Let me see here. So, it's a nice house. It's just sort of, I find it kind of unimaginative. And that's, maybe that's a, I don't know. I don't want to put down Sound Beach Partners. The quality is always very, very good. It's extremely good, high quality. You can really tell from a furnace room. You go to a Sound Beach Partners builder's furnace room, and it's all so neatly organized and clean and just an impressive engine room, you know? So that one, this one had that.
You got to be careful with those plumbers anyway.
Yeah, that's why. What do you mean?
Well, I don't know whether they still do, but they used to, apparently. You know, to run their plumbing properly, you know, you want to have the sink here, but the way the building was created,
yes,
to run the plumbing properly, you've got to cut into some of the wood that is actually holding up the floor, and quite often plumbers are very unaware of that. It seems.
Yeah, you should never. Plumbers should not and usually do not pretend to be carpenters. Builder, certainly when they're building a house, you'd want to better take charge of that and say, have the pipes running,
yeah,
and then build the floor around them rather than have a plumber cut things open.
Yes.
Yes. Electricians are famous for knocking big
holes. I guess I'm talking about renovations cause these kind of things.
Terrible.
Obviously not a new construction.
No, right. No, but it's sad, though. You're right. Again, not to put down our friends the plumbers, but they are not carpenters, that's for sure.
Of course, what do I know? I watch TV shows.
Aha!
This. See?
Selling Sunset. No, but TV shows. No, you're right. They kind of exaggerate stuff. Anyway, 242 Riverside Avenue was not underpriced to stage a bidding war. Reader of Chris Fountain's blog with your theories about Ellen Mosier. No, Ellen put it on for the very wise price of $4,295, and it was immediately swept up in probably a bidding war. But was that Ellen's plan? No, I'm telling you, $4,295, and I don't really know. Julie Church, also of Houlihan, apparently has won the contest, so she has the... Wait a minute, is it pending? Yeah, it's pending. She has the deal on that. I will try to squeeze out of Julie the information. Did it go over ask? I don't know. I mean, I think $4,295,000 for this sort of, you know, humdrum, well-built house. I think that's plenty of money. Did it go for $4,400,000? Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out. But you don't have to stage a bidding war, reader. It's not necessary. It happens organically. That's a great word.
Yes.
People come in, they're not using any chemicals. No, that's not what I mean. I just mean it grows all by itself. Mm. So that would be 242 Riverside Avenue. Town assessment is, well, who cares? The taxes are $25,000 a year. As I always say, you show that to somebody from Scarsdale and they say, what? The taxes are $25,000 per year? Mm. Yeah. They're not $75,000? They're not $80,000? No, $25,000. They just can't believe it. We have low taxes in this town, and it's not by accident. It's by careful design, and it can easily be, that advantage can be thrown away with a single flip of a voting booth. Do they have voting booths anymore, Bob? No, they have little voting tables. Those are so, what a shame we lost voting booths. We've already covered this, but doggone it, the old good old days, you pull this big lever, that's how it's pronounced, by the way, you pull the big lever and the curtain closes behind you. Maybe you have your kid with you, you know, they get the exciting of, we're voting, we're actually voting, we're changing government, or we're affecting government. Now you just stand at this little table like you're pre-ordering at McDonald's. Like, come on, it's just crappy. They took it all the magic away. And it probably makes it easier for them to cheat, too. So, there we are, 242 Riverside. I have a quick sale, and as I say, it's going for at least $600 or more than it sold for a few years ago. And the great Rob Johnson of Brown Hair Stevens giving it another try over at 97 Pexland Road. Wise guy Chris Fountain, noted real estate blogger Christopher Fountain, with thousands of readers who all get to read for free, by the way, because he refuses to ask people to pay a yearly fee for all of the entertainment that guy provides, it's just free, all these years and years and years. Come on. Charge, buddy. Oh, my God. What do I have? I write an ad for him. I say, here's what we're going to do. You give people an option, maybe $29.95. Is that too much to pay for an amusing blog? People, every single day, somebody says to me, oh, you know, your brother's blog is so funny. I don't always agree with the politics. Yes, I'm sure you don't. But I read it every... It's the first one I read. Good. Then you should be paying. But, oh, no, don't worry. No, Chris is on a mission. He's a non-profit. 97 Pexon Road. So he makes fun of this big giant house with a 30-car garage. 30-car garage. And
wow.
You should see the cars in that garage. Oh,
yeah, you wouldn't want to put crappy cars.
No, they're all...
That many.
They're all... Look like racing Porsche 911s. Like,
oh.
But spotless. Like, have they ever been in a race? And if they were, they were clean, you know, meticulously detailed right after the race. Kind of... you know that used to be an expression, a gentleman's farm. They had a farm, but it didn't really have to make a profit. Right,
watching
now.
Jay Leno on YouTube.
Yes,
driving.
There's a car guy.
Driving a Gullwing Mercedes.
Yes.
That was the last one produced.
Oh, what's it worth? Wait, let me guess. $5 million. Who knows?
They didn't say, but he was talking about how these cars are supposed to be meant to be driven. Not,
yeah.
You don't put them in a museum.
No, right.
Even a car like that.
You drive it.
Yeah.
Yes, he's right. I agree with him. Well, it's like this. If you're worth millions and millions and millions of dollars and you have a Ferrari and you zip into a supermarket parking lot with your Ferrari hoping that maybe it won't be stolen from you at gunpoint here in Greenwich, Connecticut. By the way, that happened, let's see, was it Old Greenwich, the mobile station, right there in the center of town, across the street from the firehouse or next to the firehouse. And a broker called all of us and said that she was filling up and she watched as a guy jumped from a blacked out window BMW, jumped into a woman's still running Range Rover, brand new Range Rover. And for some reason, I think he said either he stole it or something stopped him, but it wasn't her. I mean, one of these days, you know, a lot of Greenwich ladies I know have gotten gun permits, and they're going to be packing. Some of them are going to be packing, and one of these days, some woman is going to be confronted with a car thief, and she's going to whip out her gun and shoot him. And instead of praising her as a hero, I am certain that Attorney General Tong, if that's our guy's name, will come and prosecute her to the fullest extent of the law for her overreaction to this ridiculous, outrageous thing. How dare you shoot a car thief? Why? The man meant no harm. He's just trying to make a living. Whether it's stealing bread or stealing a car, it's just a guy trying to get along. I predict that, by the way. You'll see. Right out of Bonfire of the Vanities, I think, was a similar situation. Or it wasn't quite. No, that was the guy ran over. Well, never mind. So anyway, we will get back to Rob Johnson's plight over there at 97 Pexlin Road right after these messages.
Today will be mostly sunny in the low 30s with the winter weather advisory statewide away from the immediate coast for tomorrow. Then increasing clouds for tonight with snow developing towards sunrise in the upper teens with snow and sleet before noon for tomorrow. Then freezing rain and sleet between noon and 2 p.m. with rain after in the mid-30s, ice of less than a half inch with new snow between 1 and 3 inches. As we pull out of winter and head into spring, enjoy the scenery while saving time, gas, and money en route to Long Island. There's never any black ice or snow drifts on the Sound, so be safe and warm. Go online to 888-44-FERRY.com. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. We make the amazing Solaire infrared gas grills that are built to last and will consistently deliver better than restaurant grilled food. The Solaire infrared burner heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills food faster. Learn more about these fantastic USA-made grills at BestHotGrill.com. Solaire, hot, fast grills at BestHotGrill.com.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no coverage at all. These days, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of the biggest expenses can be your car, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan. You could save thousands with one call to CarShield. Call 800-840-1546 now to see if you qualify. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and more can become a thing of the past. Plus, call 800-840-1546 right now and get free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options. Call 800-840-1546 today and get your car protected before your next repair bill hits. Just call 800-840-1546 to see if your car qualifies. 800-840-1546. That's 800-840-1546. Again, 800-840-1546. Coverage varies by plans. View contracts and exclusions at carshield.com.
This is Dora Song from Greenwich Library, calling all history buffs and family tree explorers. Greenwich Library is offering a unique research workshop that will change how you discover your family's history. Join us on Thursday, February 13th from 4 to 5 p.m. in the Learning Lab for a special program, Look Into the Past, Digital Newspapers and Archives for Genealogy and Historical Research. This 90-minute seminar will show you how to navigate digital newspaper archives dating back to 1877, explore extensive digital image collections, and uncover fascinating historical details about your family and community. Register now by visiting greenwichlibrary.org or calling our reference desk at 203-622-7910. This is Dora Salm from Greenwich Library and 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
When this old world starts getting me down and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs and all my cares just drift right into space.
All right, of course, that's the great Drifters. There was a lot of Drifters, going in and out of that group using the same name. But the group you're listening to there is, since that's 64, that would be Eugene Pearson, Johnny Terry, Charlie Thomas, and Johnny Moore singing a song written by Carole King and Jerry Goffin. King typically, as far as I know, wrote the music, and Goffin provided the lyrics. What a combo they were. Man, oh, man. I think they had a baby together. They were married, but of course got married way too young, so of course they both got divorced, blah, blah, blah. But what a... I mean, Carole King is responsible for so many songs that you have heard. I mean, I think her output dwarfs possibly the Beatles and Paul Simon and people like and Billy Joel. I think many more than that, but maybe not. But it's at least 100.
Billy Joel felt like he had even more, but no, maybe you're right.
Maybe no. She's just absolute. It's incredible. What a production. It's just, and she started really young, like in high school. Anyway, The Drifters. Really cool
that
song.
When you got it, you got it.
Yeah, I know. And it just, it's like Mozart said to people when he was alive that, yes, Gideon, we know that he was talking when he was alive. He said that the music just, he just had to write it down. It was pouring out of him, and he needed a pen and paper to write this music, to get it written down. So it's almost, there's weird sort of programming in people. I don't know. It's weird. Now, mine, of course, is for great real estate comedy. I just can't help it. It just comes pouring out of me. All right, so, and that's just as much of a treasure for the world as Mozart's music. So 97 yes. Paxton Road.
We're also proud.
Why? Thank you so much. Why can't Rob Johnson, an otherwise skilled and talented broker at Brown Harris Stevens, why can't he get rid of this? I don't know. I mean, it's the brother Chris calls it the country club of Paxton Road Country Club, and it is. There's this building is so huge that it really does resemble a country club. It could be that it's got underground parking for 30. And lots of parking for hundreds of cars. It really could be. He's right, actually. All his sarcasm aside, it could be a private club. The only thing missing is the golf course. But let's see. It has 17,878 square feet, which I really feel like that's what almost any family needs. If you want to be comfortable, you need at least 17,000. So this has got that extra 878 over that. So that's very admirable. Taxes on this baby are $204,998. The asking price started in the 30s, and now it's down to $24,950. It comes with 19.14 acres on Pexland Road, 97 Pexland Road. Pexland is one word. Years ago, Mr. and Mrs. Peck, I'm sure, owned a lot of this land. It was farm. Now, since then, it's turned into luxury housing sites. That started about 100 years ago. So 97 Pexland Road, Greenwich, Connecticut. You should look this up on Zillow. That moronic sight.
You should?
No. Well, why? You can just for the picture. It's just.
Oh, picture. I see.
There's nothing else to look at. Let me see. Truly unique. You don't have to say that. Something is either unique or it's not. It's not. You don't have to say truly unique, Rob. Truly unique 19-acre estate in the heart of Mid-Country. Okay, agree with that. Exclamation mark, not necessary. Prepared to be captivated. Prepared to be captivated. He means prepare. I don't know how the D got in there. Prepared to be captivated by this custom-built, that should be, custom-built should be hyphenated, masterpiece of design and craftsmanship. Completed in 2009 and offered to the market for the first time since completion. Anyway, it is kind of a cool house. And at this point, at $24,950, it's starting to look pretty good. And it's, you know, it started too high. That's very typical for our business in this town. Wait a minute. Hold on. California listener is chiming in. She says, oh, regarding Carole King, she's so prolific. And to my sorrow, I never really liked her that much. Except for the early stuff, like Up on the Roof. Yeah. Lauren, I would say Tapestry. I liked all the songs on Tapestry. I loved that. What's that one called? Not Skipping Over the Ocean. That was Harry Nilsson. It was Sweet. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't remember it. But the Tapestry album I thought was fantastic. And there's a song when I was a kid, 1971, All Summer. That's the only thing they seemingly played on the radio was It's Too Late, Baby, from Tapestries. Mm. Carole King, no. Laura, you should rethink that. But music is all, it's a question of taste, and not, it's a question of one's personal taste. So, all right, Rob, good luck with 97 Pexland Road. I hope you get rid of it. I think you will. Now, what about a cheapie? We need a cheapie. Okay, how about this one? 24 Valley Road. Cute little farmhouse, 1925. Who listed this? Melody, spelled M-E-L-O-D-Y-E. Melody? Colucci. Must be Melody. A very unique spelling of Melody. So Melody Colucci of Coldwell Banker has put this baby on January 31st. $1,050,000. I'm afraid it's probably already gone, although it shows as active. So what do you get for $1,050,000 in this town on Valley Road? Nice little address. There's nothing wrong with Valley Road. And the Kaskab district of this town. It is taxes are a meager $5,461 a year. $5,461 a year if you own this house. Not too bad. And what else can you say about it? It has one car garage, separate garage, and how many bedrooms? It has 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, 0 fireplaces. let's see what Melody says about it. Great entry point into Greenwich! 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, close to so many conveniences. Okay, poorly written, as usual. 1.1 miles to the Kaskab train station. So on a rainy, cold night, it's walkable. Detached 1-car garage, wonderful level backyard with stone terrace. Relax and unwind while sitting on the covered front porch, waving at the cars zooming by. Granite counters, new kitchen appliances. And 2024 hot water heater. 2022. Wow, 2 new kitchen windows. What? Look, this is the kind of stuff you have to write if you've got a cheapo listing. You got to, you know, hype up everything you can think of. 4 split units. That means ductless splits. Those are the things. It's a very, very smart way to certainly to cool and sometimes even to heat your house are these so-called ductless
yeah,
split.
The newest ones are very
efficient. Yeah, and they look like a big old kind of a skinny little white refrigerator sticking out of the wall up by the ceiling. They're actually very unobtrusive and they're very quiet. So look into
because a lot of what they're the noise that would be made by them is in the device that's outside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's air conditioning. It's just you don't have duct work, and I can't tell you what a disappointment it is to go through one of the this back in the early part of my career. People would put air conditioning. I want central air. They'd say so. Okay, out come the duct guys, and you'd open up closets, and there's ducts running through the closet. Mm-hmm. Quack quack. No, not ducts. You guys, come on. What's this duct doing in the closet? Quack quack.
Oh boy, that's a good one to get in. Thank you. So no, but I mean, it was a mess running all this metal tubing through a house. Now you just have these units. I mean, one of these things can cool an entire smallish upstairs if you want it. If you want to let it. Typically, so this house has, I think, what'd you say, three, and that's four for heat and AC, finished attic space and storage. So yeah, for $1,050,000 asking price, 24 Valley Road. I think that's. That's a nice, it is an entry. I know it's not, you know, $1 million is a hell of a lot. And in most towns, that would buy you much more. But you want to be in Greenwich? That's how the game we have to play. So I would recommend that one. And you don't have to call Melody Colucci. You could call Gideon Fountain and say, Gideon, I want to see that house.
That reminds me of the name of a young woman I knew in college.
Yes, Bob Small?
Merrily.
Merrily, how did she spell it?
Just the same as Merrily we roll along.
Oh,
yeah.
Brother. See, parents with senses of humor when they're naming their kids, I think they should be banned myself. I really do. Oh, boy, Merrily.
Yeah, I know. Not Mary Lee, but
Merrily. Yeah, her little brother Happily was not exactly thrilled either.
But everybody calls him Hap.
Happy.
He's
hey,
okay
Hap.
Hap,
how you doing, buddy? Yeah, I guess so. What else happened this year? So the rental, there's you know, rentals come pouring on the market and then roll off just as quickly. I still have a client waiting for a summer rental. I kid you not. There are no summer rentals. And I think there's one for $75,000 a month.
Oof.
Summer rentals in the town of Greenwich have just gone away. No one does it anymore. It's absolutely. And, you know, when you think about it, why would you? I mean, typically the people have enough money. They don't really need your $15,000 a month for 2 months while they're on vacation. You're living in their house and they have to, you know, you got to clear all your personal stuff away. And then you get all the complaints like, oh, we didn't know. How does the thermostat work? And what, the alarm is going off. What's the code? All the crud of being a summer landlord. So I can understand why it's gone out of style. Anyway, but the regular rentals do keep pouring on the market and then pouring right off.
What's that B business that, people basically rent their houses for short terms?
Airbnb.
Airbnb.
Yeah, that's another thing that has probably siphoned off some of it. VRBO is vacation rental by owner.
Vrbo, I call it. But
Vrbo. Okay, so I've taken advantage of that. And that's also a good way because really, honestly, real estate agents are – we have – a real estate agent isn't – I hate to admit this, but we're not really required for a rental, especially for a cheapo rental. Just do it yourself. I mean, it's so much effort on the part of the broker, which, by the way, is a lot of actually represents a lot of protection for you. So maybe they are necessary, but a broker slaves away for weeks and weeks, sometimes months and months, getting something for like $10,000 a month rented. Right? They get it rented, and first, they bring the brokers in to price it. Then they photograph it. Then they, you know, print the listings up. Then they put it on the market. Then they start showing it. Sometimes they have to show accompany each showing, and all of that at the end of the process, you make here's your commission. You ready? Can you count it all? It's $1,600. Oh, gee, thanks ever so much. That was really worth weeks and weeks of my time. No, agent's time is better spent selling, not renting. You would have to rent 100 houses a year to come anywhere close to a typical broker's pay for selling broker's pay. And 100 rentals would drive you to the grave and you would never want to repeat the experience. It's just so much bother. So yes, VRBO is a great alternative. Obviously Airbnb, although I hear there's many, many objections to Airbnb. Apparently they've upped their take. They want more and more from you. If you want to put your house on their site, they're taking quite a piece out of it. So that is lowering its appeal to people. All right, so what? Something. I was reading a sad little story about the nation's air traffic control system, which has been an antiquated mess for the last 40 or 50 years. I guess, once again, citing Chris's blog, who cites a writer, John Tierney, was it? I think it is. And it's absolutely, Bob, it is pathetic and awful. We're the only country in the world with such an antiquated air traffic control system where they use paper, strips of paper, when they hand off, once a flight takes off, a different air traffic controller monitors it for its on its journey and confirms that it lands wherever it's going.
I didn't realize they were in the same room.
Yeah, yeah.
In
the same room, and they it's all done electronically in places like Canada or name the country, Switzerland. All these other countries have modern, up-to-date, supremely efficient air traffic control systems. The U.S., no, sadly, we do not. It's back. It's 1940s era. You can't even call it technology. It's pieces of paper. So one air traffic controller takes it's called a flight strip, I think, and they take that piece of paper and carry it over to another air traffic controller and say, "Okay, this is your guy now." I mean, it's so pathetic and so embarrassing and also so dangerous because they're not. And then add to that the good old the Obamas and the Bidens and telling the FAA, giving them these incredibly ridiculous guidelines about who they have to hire and therefore turning down thousands of qualified candidates. Oh, what's wrong? Oh, you're a white guy? No. I'm so sorry. No, we can't use you. We're looking for visually impaired people. We're looking for mentally disturbed people. We want diversity in the air, in the traffic control towers. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. But even before that, even before the DEI nonsense, it was just, there's just been a resistance. It's the same reason we as a country never could build a high speed rail line. We can't do it. Other countries can do it. We cannot do it for a variety of reasons. But it's something about our democracy and politicians.
I think partly because technologically we're out of sync. If we make a change like that, we want all of our rail system, for instance, updated at the same moment.
Yeah.
Whereas these smaller countries, they don't have that much rail system to update.
Yes. We came in first. I mean, you're right. We had 1800s. By the late 1800s, we were all up and running with all this infrastructure built by these so-called robber barons. Some muckraker named Mother Jones. That was her nickname. He called nicknamed these industrialists robber barons. Well, thank God we had robber barons like Carnegie and Rockefeller and people like that who built the country. It wasn't going to get built by itself, and you can go to countries where they didn't have any robber barons, and what do you know? There's no oil refineries. There's no bridges. There's no major highways. Imagine that, Mother Jones. Oh, my God, I can't. They still use that phrase to this day, the robber barons. Well, they stole. Oh, boy, they have a funny way of stealing by building these huge structures, massive infrastructure. Anyway, but you're right, Bob. We had old, aging infrastructure, and we've never. It's a much, much bigger job, probably, to bring that up to speed than it is to build new in countries that didn't have it.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Bob, this has been troubling me, and we'll speak about it on the air, of course. Our phone flasher, sometimes Rob Adams is sitting in here doing his great Beatles show on Sunday mornings from 9 till 10. What a great show that is. Mm. Come on, Sunday mornings. He's got stuff on the Beatles you've never heard before. I'm not just talking about the music, but also facts and figures. And it's a very, very good show. Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Rob Adams, our great, incredibly talented sports guy, takes time off from sports and does the Beatles show. Anyway, he can't see the flashing light when people are trying to call in. So why is it over there in the corner behind your back? And where can we move it?
Right in front of you, unfortunately.
What do you mean?
Well, it would be right there where it would be blasting you in the face.
It's just a light. Come on. We should do it.
Well, we could.
I mean, come on.
We could.
I mean, luckily, when you and I are sitting here, your back is to it, but I eventually look up and notice it. But
yes.
I mean, that's a very inefficient system. We're like the air traffic control people, for God's sake.
Of course, if it's dark out, then it's fine where it is. It's when it's bright, sunny, coming in our windows, which we're so thankful we have such nice windows.
Yes, Bob Small. Now listen here, 203-661-5051 if you want to show us how that light works and call into the show. It's 203-661-5051. But all right, so Bob, yeah, I think we should move it. Because Rob missed a call.
And there's a wire sitting over there that's ready to go.
Yeah.
To plug right into it.
Not this baby.
Yeah, basically that one right there.
Why is that here?
We used to have a phone sitting there.
You mean you could see the phone sitting there and it would light up?
Yeah, but I couldn't see it because it was aiming at you.
Yeah, but I think it's more important that the host can see it. But in Rob's case, Rob is being his own board op, right?
Yes.
He's just here by himself. So,
that's
yeah,
right.
he needs to be able to. I mean, you know, people, especially for a Beatles show, people want to call in and show off their knowledge. Now, look, I printed something from Houlihan Lawrence. Houlihan Lawrence is a great collector of statistics, and sometimes they're even useful. Let's see. Pricing in today's market. So let's see. Sold homes in Greater Greenwich. That's the whole town. With no price reduction. This must be for the last period of what? A month? 1 month. Sold homes in Greenwich. No price reduction. 37 with no price reduction, and they sold for typically 104.39% of the asking price. How do you like that? Now, if they needed a price reduction, then go. Ready for this? This is how long the difference. Here's what happens when you overprice a house, which is hard to do in this market, but people are doing it. They still manage to do it. It goes from 37 days on market average to 391 days on the market, and that percent of listing price that it sells for drops to 84%. Average percent of list price when sold, 84%, versus people who price wisely and have no price reduction. It just goes on the market and then it sells. They get 104.39% of their asking price versus 84%. But the most telling part is 37 days versus 391 days. If your house is on the market for 391 days, you are clearly overpriced. You're not just waiting for the right buyer. And I know there are houses with quirks that, you know, only a certain small percentage of buyers will buy. However, once you're up there in the 40 and 50 showing range, you've got some of those people have been exactly the buyer you were looking for. And they're still saying no.
So waiting for the right buyer sounds like a phrase that would be used during a time when buyers controlled the market, not
yes,
sellers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're
good point,
they're
Bob.
Using that now in the wrong market.
Yes, right. Yep. sellers, just as buyers all want to negotiate, sellers want to overprice. You know, we go to all this trouble of figuring out what something's worth. We come up with a mountain of papers, thick sheaf of papers of recent sales, and here's what's on the market now, here's what's just sold, here's what's not selling, and we say $3.4 million, there's your asking price. And what does it go on for? $4.4 million.
Yeah.
Because the seller goes, no, what, $3.4 million? No, Zillow says, no, our neighbors said you're over $3.4 million. Our neighbors told us that you could get much more than that. But your neighbor, do they do real estate all day long? Well, no, he works at a hedge fund. Oh, he does? So he doesn't look at the market all day long, 7 days a week, staring at it on his mobile device and his office computer, watching the market, going to broker open houses, talking to brokers, showing houses with sellers in his car. He doesn't do any of that, but he has an opinion. Oh, I see.
Yeah, but you can get a yes to all those answers.
Yes.
And still not have the right person if they're in a different part of the country.
Good point, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob Small chiming in with more real estate wisdom than he has a right to have. You get some wise ass,
off on me.
Some Florida broker.
Yeah.
Your seller will say, well, my sister is a broker in Florida, and she says you're underpricing it. We're going to price it at 4.4, even though you say 3.4. My clients don't really talk like this, but, you know, for humor purposes. Gideon, this is how we all talk. No, I know. I'm just making fun. So, yeah, you're right. A Florida broker knows nothing about the Greenwich market,
yes,
but somehow has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion, just like cowboy hats and that other body part. So here we go. So in Riverside, by the way, it's even worse. If you have no price reduction, you put the house on the market and it sells, and you haven't had to reduce the price, in Riverside, it will sell for 104.08% of its asking price on average. But if you do have one price reduction or more, instead of being 28 days on the market, it rises to 455 days on the market. I can't begin to describe to you how miserable it is to have a house on the market for 455 days. It is rotten. And probably somewhere along the line, you're swapping out brokers and getting the whole new sales pitch. Oh, we're going to use different marketing. No. Marketing, the word marketing should be substituted for smart pricing. It's all you need. You don't need clever marketing. In this market, are you kidding? This is a seller's market. Take advantage of it. Don't be a fool. That's my message. That's today's message, everybody. Just like Mr. Rogers, he would always sign off, kids, don't be a fool. No, he would never say that. Are you kidding? All right, you guys, thanks for putting up with the show. We'll be back next week with, more real estate information. All right, see you later.
This is your community radio station, serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
I'm Rich Thomason. Certainly not universal, but President Trump says he has heard a lot of positive feedback about his Gaza redevelopment plan. Advocates moving the Palestinians out of the Gaza Strip and redeveloping the land.
In a remarkable declaration, the president said the U.S. should take ownership of the Palestinians' homeland.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it.
He claimed there's broad support for his redevelopment plan.
Everybody I've spoken to loves the idea.
The president offered no specifics on where Palestinians would be permanently resettled, and he refused to rule out deploying U.S. troops to secure Gaza. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Iran's currency has plunged to a record low against the dollar. This after President Trump restarted his maximum pressure campaign against Tehran over its nuclear program. In its drive to improve government oversight and accountability, the Trump administration is pulling almost all